great, another political talk show. Just what America needs. It's time for something different. I figure if you're listening to me, you are obviously a person of very high intellect.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Don't shoot the messenger. With your host, Kathy Wynn.
Hey, and welcome to Don't Shoot the Messenger here on Jackalope Radio. I'm your host, Kathleen Wynn, and this is the premiere program of my new show, which I'm very excited about. Let me tell you a little bit about what the focus of this show is going to be. So here at Don't Shoot the Messenger, we're going to tackle controversial issues, political hot buttons, all of those subjects that are banned from your family dinner table. We are not going to shy away from addressing topics that might make some people uncomfortable, and I plan to deal with current political controversy straight on. But also, this show is going to be fun, because I don't take myself too seriously, and I don't think others should either, especially when talking about the wacky world of politics. It's also not my intent to offend anybody. I'm not setting out to do that. But just so you know, it's also not my style to tiptoe around issues that Americans feel passionately about. In my experience, the issues that spark the greatest controversy, passion, and righteous indignation are the ones that most need to be talked about. So that's what we're going to do on Don't Shoot the Messenger. Please feel free to go to jackaloperadio.com. where you can take part in a forum discussion on any of the topics brought up here. I welcome input. I'm fine with people who disagree, as long as it's civil and hopefully productive. So, having said all that, I'm just wondering how many people out there right now are shaking their heads and thinking, great, another political talk show. Just what America needs. My own impression of most radio talk shows today, especially political talk radio, is that the problem with it seems to be there's much more talking at people instead of to them. A lot of the shows I've heard are angry, they're hostile, just downright mean even, and it turns me off. So my goal for this show is to be a different kind of radio program, and I hope it's one that's respectful of a wide range of political views. If you think what I say on this show is BS, call me on it. Log on to jackaloperadio.com, and we have places there where you can start a forum discussion yourself, or you can join in on one. You can comment not only on this show, but any of the other shows on Jackalope. So I hope to hear from you. Another difference in this radio show, I hope, is that this is an independent program. Don't Shoot the Messenger is not owned by Rupert Murdoch, MSNBC, or any other media conglomerate, and I'm not controlled by an editorial board that tells me what opinions I can express or that controls what topics I choose to take on. I take full responsibility for everything I say, and let me just say right now that I make a pledge to all my listeners that I will do everything possible to make sure my opinions are backed up by facts, not my personal biases, not stupid rumors that just fuel hostility and anger and don't do anything to facilitate intelligent discourse. Having said that, there will be no death panel discussions on this show, nor will we waste time speculating as to whether or not the president is a citizen of the United States. I personally have had it with that kind of nonsense. And my feeling is that I think a good many other people have as well. So I am just going to assume a certain level of intelligence in my listeners. That's just how elitist I am. I figure if you're listening to me, you are obviously a person of very high intellect. I can't imagine a fan of this show would ever refer to themselves as a ditto head, and that would frankly be extremely depressing to me. My hope is to appeal again to a wide and diverse audience and people who even have different ideas than my own. So it's fine with me if you disagree with me. And again, I welcome intelligent, well-reasoned comments, even when they're in direct opposition to my own opinion. You can respond to anything you heard on this show by going to jackaloperadio.com and joining a forum discussion or starting one. So some of the things we're going to be talking about on this show are the issues that I believe affect most people's lives in a real way. And what I mean by that are the things like what you have to spend when you fill up your car with gas, how you're planning to finance sending a kid to college, or getting a new car to replace your junker, or finding a way to get health insurance, especially if you have a child who's aging out of qualifying from your employer's group plan. I know those are the things my husband and I struggled with when we were raising our family. And back then it was even a lot easier because the economy was booming, the job market was expanding, stock market was skyrocketing, and real estate values were through the roof. We had a Democratic president. It was Bill Clinton. And I think some people kind of credit the fact that he was a Democrat for his success, but I'm not sure that I agree. I don't think necessarily it was that. Over the years, I've noticed something about the men who make the best presidents, and they're almost always the ones who are getting something on the side. If we go all the way back to Franklin Roosevelt, he had an affair with his secretary, even though he couldn't walk. So I'm thinking there is a blue-stained dress in that story. John Kennedy was with Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe. No wonder he was so progressive. He came from Marilyn Monroe's place smiling and saying, "Hey, civil rights for everyone, on me." All right, so my feeling is, why not just put this in the budget? Because it obviously works to our advantage to have a president who is happy and relaxed and satisfied. So there you go. I told you the show was going to be fun and not all serious like Charlie Rose. A new Republican-controlled House of Representatives was sworn in yesterday. They have already started on their agenda. There's been a lot of speculation about what this is going to mean for the Obama administration and Democrats. Now that they're facing a hostile majority in the House, determined to shut down not only any future progress by the Obama administration, but to undo what the Obama administration has been working on for the past 2 years, starting most likely with repeal of health care reform. This is one of the things that frankly boggles my mind about Republicans who were elected by a lot of people who are on the anti-government bandwagon. They were, a lot of them, admired by those who voted for them because they promised to do nothing when they got to Washington, except make sure other people also do nothing. And not really satisfied with that alone, they even want to undo what the people who have done something have done. Okay, first of all, I seriously want that job. I want someone to pay me to do nothing and also to make sure that nobody else is productive either. I also want free health insurance for my busy job of doing nothing, that is, except maybe playing golf with lobbyists. So just imagine if instead of running for Congress on that platform, you were applying for a regular job. An interviewer asking, "Are you sure you're qualified to do nothing?" "Yeah, I am supremely qualified to do nothing. And I am also excellent at making sure that others do nothing as well, since I'm a multitasker." Republicans have made healthcare reform so far apparently their primary target for this, their first order of business. And they also already have a bill ready to send to committee. They might get it through the House, but it probably isn't going to make it through the still Democratic-controlled Senate, And even if it does, the president will veto it. Of course, they probably know this bill doesn't stand a chance with this Senate and this president. So what they're really doing is drawing battle lines for the 2012 elections. And they think destroying health care reform is the best way to bring Obama down before the next campaign. Maybe. But here are some of the provisions of the health care reform bill that took effect on January 1st of this year. And I just can't help wondering if people are really going to support repeal of any of these. One of them is that any copays on preventative care are prohibited. That means when you go to get your mammogram or colonoscopy, your health insurance company cannot require you to contribute a copay. When I learned about that one, I scheduled a mammogram immediately, just because I was so excited that I would not have to make a copay to get it. It's hard for me to imagine that a provision like that would not make sense to any reasonable person, because what it means is that preventing disease, preventing illness, is far more not only cost-effective, but humane. Obviously, if you catch colon cancer or breast cancer early, your chances of surviving it are improved. But not only that, you are going to cost the healthcare system far less if that is caught early on, treated, and dealt with, rather than wait until it's a terminal illness that is prolonged, painful, and expensive. So that's a provision it's hard for me to imagine that they're going to have very much popular support for repealing. Another one that took effect January 1st of 2011, health insurers must spend a higher percentage of the cost of premiums on actual medical care. So what that means is that instead of your premiums paying for an insurance industry executive to buy his second home in Aspen, They will have to justify that money that is spent and prove that it's spent on actual medical care, or most of it is spent on actual medical care, not their year-end million-dollar bonus. Right now, there's no control on what insurance companies do with our money, and they can raise our premiums, deductibles, and copays in order to increase their profit margin, not the quality of our health care. So, another provision of the health care reform bill that took effect on January 1st, many seniors will receive a 50% discount on prescription drugs. This is a provision of the health care bill that could cut the cost of your grandmother's blood pressure medication in half. Now, my mother takes a lot of prescriptions, and she's on a very fixed income. Any help she can get with her medicine is needed. And I suspect there are millions of other elderly people who are in the same boat. I just don't think Republicans are going to win on this one. It's not going to fly. First of all, there is no more formidable political force in America than old people. They might look all little and wrinkled and vulnerable, but they will whip out the can of whoop-ass on any politician who messes with any of their benefits. And they will sick the AARP on that politician faster than you can say socialism. They'll take to the streets in their walkers and scooter chairs, and they will fight repeal of this. My mother is the sweetest, kindest person you will ever meet. But if you try to take away any of her government benefits, I'm telling you, she will take you down. So, the question is, are the Republicans right? Should we leave our healthcare system the way it is now? There are somewhere around 50 million people who can't get access to it. And here's the thing that's frustrating to me about healthcare. I simply don't believe that we are not better than this, smarter than this, and more capable of solving a serious social and economic problem. I am just curious if there are others out there like me that when you walk into a Quick Trip and see mason jars on the counter with the faces of little kids who have leukemia, do you have the same reaction I do, which is, this is America. And what we have are parents begging for spare change from people at the Quick Trip store. I find it mind-boggling that there are those who think that that is an indication of an excellent healthcare system. But the amazing thing is, there are people who, despite that excellent mason jar healthcare system, will insist we have the greatest medical care in the world. Because, yay, we're America. We're the best in everything. Except we're not. There are people who claim that we need to be protected from the evil government that wants to control our health care. But I wonder who's protecting us from the insurance companies who control it now and who really don't give a damn about our health. Their concern is their profit margin. Should I actually believe that Blue Cross is sincerely concerned about my health? Or might they be more concerned about the shareholders meeting when they report on quarterly profits? According to a Reuters news report, right now Americans are spending twice as much as residents of other developed countries on health care, but get lower quality, less efficiency, and have the least equitable system. In fact, we apparently, out of six countries in this study, we rank last on safety. We do poorly on several dimensions of quality, particularly on going without care because of cost. And we also do surprisingly poorly on access to primary care and after-hours care. So that's where we're at. Also, according to this study, the lower the performance score for equity, and in that regard we rank dead last, the lower the performance on other measures. So what this tells us is that when a country fails to meet the needs of the most vulnerable, it also fails to meet the needs of the average citizen. So that's where we're at on healthcare. Also, another argument about healthcare that Republicans bring up is, why should we be paying for healthcare for people who can't afford it or won't pay for it? Well, the answer to that is that we already are. We are paying for everyone that doesn't have healthcare insurance that goes to an emergency room when they get sick, because that is what they do. They have no recourse. Emergency room care is at least 3 to 5 times as expensive as a regular doctor's office visit. A lot of times, also, people who don't have insurance will, not surprisingly, wait a long time to get treatment because they don't want to go in and incur a bill that they can't pay. So they'll wait. So whatever illness and injury that they need to have treated is going to be more serious and also more expensive to treat. That's going to be at our expense. And the cost of that is hidden in those voluminous hospital bills you get that are passed on to your insurance company. But if you think your insurance company is covering the cost of all that emergency room care from the uninsured, you're wrong. The hospital sticks it in that bill, the insurance company pays the bill, and then they raise your insurance premiums, your deductibles, and your copays. So we already are paying for all of these people. If we had a sane, reasonable, manageable healthcare system, we might be able to deal with people that are uninsured in some kind of more obviously intelligent way than sending them to emergency rooms where they cost all of us 3 to 5 times as much as it should to get health care. And like always, it's those of us in the middle who pay for our own insurance that pick up the tab for all of that. So we're going to take a quick break. Again, this is Kathleen Wynn, Don't Shoot the Messenger, on Jackalope Radio.
Jackalope 105 FM.
Tonight's the night we'll make history. Honey, you 'cause I'll take any risk to tie back the hands of time and stay with you here tonight. I know you feel these are the worst of times. I do believe it's true. When people lock their doors and hide inside, rumor has it it's the end of paradise. But I know if the world just passed us by, baby, I know I wouldn't have to cry, no, no.
The best of times are when I'm alone with you. Some rain, some shine will make this a world for two.
Our memories of yesterday will last a lifetime. We'll take the best, forget the rest, and someday we'll find
these are the best of times. These are the best of times.
Headlines read, these are the worst of times. I do believe it's true. I feel so helpless, like a boat against the tide. I wish the summer wind could bring back paradise, but I know if the world turned upside down.
Here's a poor fella who has no friends, so he thought he'd make some on the radio.
It can happen.
He's back on air this January.
Radio enthusiasts are going to hear us talking about this and say, don't do it. Don't do it.
Coming January 7th, 2011 on Jackalope Radio.
The Brad Westmar Show. We're still going to do it. We're still going to do it. We will. I promise. Whatever.
The Brad Westmar Show. Coming your way January 7th, 2011. Right here on Jackalope Radio.
Jackalope 105 FM. Don't shoot the messenger.
Don't shoot the messenger.
You're listening to Don't Shoot the Messenger with your host, Kathy Wynn.
All right, so still on the topic of healthcare reform. The thinking is that what the Republicans are most likely going to target in this bill is the mandate to purchase insurance, and they're probably going to take this all the way to the Supreme Court. They're screaming about government overreaching, forcing people to buy insurance, the heavy hand of Big Brother coming down on the little guy to make him buy something he doesn't want. But this is where I think the hypocrisy of their argument really shows, because these are the people that are constantly telling us we shouldn't have to pay for the things that other people don't want to pay for. If somebody would rather buy beer and cigarettes with their money than health insurance, they should suffer the consequences. What this provision of the bill says is that they cannot choose to spend their money on beer and cigarettes. They have to pay for insurance. That means that they cannot run to the emergency room and let you and me pick up the tab for when they have lung problems or liver problems because of drinking beer. They're going to have to pay for it themselves, just like all of the rest of us do. And so I'm not sure how they justify objecting to people paying for their health insurance instead of me paying for their health care at an emergency room where it's going to cost all of us 3 to 5 times more than if they buy their insurance and go to the doctor like all the rest of us. So I'm just, again, we're paying for people who are uninsured right now. Apparently the Republicans want us to continue to pay for the uninsured or those who choose to not pay for their insurance and buy beer and cigarettes instead. And then we continue to get reamed by big insurance companies and hospital who hide their emergency room bills for the uninsured. And at the end of the year, the CEO of Blue Cross gets a big fat bonus. I think we need to get ready for this fight because really the only thing Republicans have fought harder for is keeping tax cuts for billionaires in place. That isn't the only issue that House Republicans will be going after when they're sworn in. They have also announced plans to launch numerous investigations into a variety of government programs and agencies as one of their first orders of business. So, again, in the interest of doing nothing and keeping other people who are doing something in their same mindset, that is doing nothing, they would like to start a bunch of investigations that suck up our tax dollars, the time of all those people who would be doing something for Americans, but they're being subpoenaed, they're meeting with their lawyers, and they're undergoing investigations that the Republicans are going to pursue in the interest, again, of bringing government to a grinding halt. Congressman Daryl Issa, Republican from California, is the new chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. He has already announced that he and his crew will lead 6 major investigations in the first 3 months of the year. Issa is a man who made a fortune making car alarms, and he said he intends to conduct inquiries into the release of classified diplomatic cables by WikiLeaks, the role of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in the foreclosure crisis. I wonder where he was during the Bush administration when Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were out of control and not being regulated and nobody was watching them. But apparently, the Republicans now think this is something that bears looking at. The Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission's failure to identify the origins of the meltdown, alleged corruption in Afghanistan, and recalls at the Food and Drug Administration. So basically, the Republicans are getting ready to launch a bunch of investigations, hire a lot of lawyers, take up the time of the Justice Department, and many of the people that we've elected to work for us are going to be busy answering to their investigations rather than doing the jobs we elected them to do. That's their next order of business. That's what they think is important right now when our country is in an economic meltdown and our federal budget deficit is out of control. They want to launch some investigations. Who knows? They may come up with a stained blue dress in this one, and maybe everybody they'll feel that they've justified the time and our money that they've spent on this nonsense, but I think it's a witch hunt, and what they're doing is trying to, again, find a way to make sure the government does nothing. So here are some of the other issues that Republicans thought it was best to do nothing about. Obviously, we just finished talking about health care reform. They have never seen fit to deal with the over 50 million Americans who don't have access to health care. If you're comfortably insured, if you can go to the doctor when you're sick, it may not seem like an important issue, but that is over 50 million Americans who cannot get care when they're sick. And again, the Republicans' answer to that is, well, you know, that's just not our problem. Go to the emergency room, the middle-class taxpayers will take care of you, and there you go. Another one, the don't ask, don't tell policy, which was just repealed thanks to President Obama and the Democrats. This is something they not only ignored for many, many years, but then when the repeal was on the table, they fought it. John McCain, who supported repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell during his own campaign, decided to switch sides and fight the repeal of a law that forced some of the bravest people in America, the people who are willing to leave their families and their friends and the comforts of their home and go fight for our country and possibly die for it. And these people were supposed to stay silent about who they were. They could not put a picture of their girlfriend or boyfriend beside their bunk. They could not talk about their wife or husband at home if it was someone of the same gender. They could not do all of those things that give somebody a little bit of comfort when they're halfway around the world and on any given day could actually lose their life for their country. It was wrong. But this, again, is one of the issues that Republicans saw fit to fight against. And again, John McCain, even though he supported repeal during his presidential campaign, suddenly switched sides and decided, no, you know what? They don't deserve to be who they are. They don't deserve the same rights as the rest of us. They have to keep hidden the very essence of who they are. Another issue that Republicans thought was a waste of money and not worthy of their attention was the issue of the first responders at 9/11, the men and women who rushed in with no thought to their own safety or their own health and helped save lives, dig people out from the rubble, and just generally deal with that horrifying, horrifying tragedy firsthand. So when they came to the United States government and said, you know, we are suffering, in some cases, terminal illnesses, but certainly chronic illnesses, lung injuries from breathing all of the ash and the smoke at that site. When they came to us with that request, the Republicans basically did not agree that they deserved the help of the United States government in assisting them with the medical bills associated with their illnesses. So that was another thing they thought that they were justified in just doing nothing. Now it seems that their first order of business after being elected is not only fighting health reform, but again, shutting down any attempt that the current administration makes to dealing with the problems that this country is currently facing. It's the do-nothing approach. And they're not only taking the do-nothing approach, they're going to use our tax dollars to do it, because in order to launch investigations and subpoena our government officials, they're going to have to pay lawyers. They're going to have to pay prosecutors. So they are going to spend our money not doing the job they were hired to do, which is to run our government effectively and in the interests of the American people, but to shut down our government. The Obama administration, on the other hand, had the opposite idea of why they were elected. And they believe that voters actually expect the people they pay to run our government to be productive and to get things done. So just these are just a few of the things that the Obama administration got done with that idea in mind, because their goal was, again, it was not to do nothing nor to shut down the government, but to actually advance the goals of our country, to make this a better country and a government that actually works for us. And again, by us, I'm just talking about the people who really pay the bills, because we know who pays the bills. It's you and me. It's the people who get out of bed and go to work every day and have bills to pay that we don't know if we can pay. So, there are many people just hanging on to middle class right now by the tips of their fingernails. They're one paycheck away from disaster. So I'm just going to go over a few of the things that the Obama administration has accomplished, again, with the opposite idea of the Republicans, which is that government really should work for the people that elected them to go to work. So they have instituted enforcement of laws that guarantee equal pay for women. They have required that families of fallen soldiers have their expenses covered so they can be on hand when the body of their loved one arrives at Dover Air Force Base. They ended the media blackout on war casualties. They also ended the media blackout on covering the return of fallen soldiers to Dover Air Force Base. So now the media is permitted to cover that pursuant to the wishes and respectful approval of the fallen soldier's family. They are actually forcing the government to respect the Freedom of Information Act, unlike the way it was not respected under the Bush administration. There are increased limits on the access of lobbyists to the White House. There are also limits on White House aides working for lobbyists after their tenure in the administration. They ended the previous stop-loss policy that kept soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan longer than their enlistment date. I mean, seriously, how many times can you ask someone to go risk their life, leave their family, leave everything they know? And the previous policy asked them to do this not only over and over again, but beyond what they originally enlisted for. So that has ended. The Obama administration has also phased out the expensive F-22 warplane and some of the other outdated weapon systems, which weren't even being used or even needed in Iraq or Afghanistan. They have removed restrictions on embryonic stem cell research. I know that's a dicey subject, and people have different opinions on whether that's morally right based on your ideas of life and when it begins and when it ends. But I think this was the right thing to do at this point. So they have removed those restrictions and research that can help people with diseases like Alzheimer's, which my father died of, Parkinson's, which my brother has, can go forward. There's also more federal support and funding for stem cell research and new biomedical research. There is new federal funding for science and research labs. Also, states are now permitted to enact federal fuel efficiency standards above federal standards. So if you have a state that believes strongly that we need to protect our environment and fight global warming, they will be able to surpass in their efficiency standards what the federal government recommends. We've also had increased infrastructure spending through the Reinvestment and Recovery Act on roads, bridges, power plants. After years of neglect, I'm sure there are some people who were on a bridge in Minneapolis a couple of years ago when it collapsed that are grateful we're going to be spending more money on that. We've also, the federal government has now allocated funds for high-speed broadband internet access to kindergarten through 12 schools. There have been new funding allocated for school construction. The U.S. auto industry rescue plan turned out to be a huge success. Automakers now are on sound footing. They're doing well. The stock is up. They're flourishing. This is a nice one, I think. The U.S. now has no torture policy because we don't allow torture. So we're now in compliance with the Geneva Convention standards, as opposed to where we were, which I think we're all pretty familiar with what was going on at Guantanamo Bay when torturing prisoners was allowed. We have better body armor for our troops. The president visited more countries and met with more world leaders than any president just in his first 6 months in office. We have tax write-offs for people who buy hybrid automobiles. So you get the idea. This is not an administration that takes the Republican approach, which is let's just don't do anything because all government is bad. Big government is bad, so best just keep government hamstrung so we don't do anything. I think, as Americans, that, like I said before, we're better than this. We're smarter than this. I think we could get some of the smartest people in this country to go in a room somewhere and study all of the countries that have healthcare systems that their people are happy with, that are working. And I think in a week they could come out with a healthcare plan that would work for all of us. But instead, we're in this quagmire of fighting. And we have this opposition that is hostile to the interests of just providing healthcare to America's citizens. So again, I think we have a choice to make with how we go forward and whether people decide to support the Republican agenda, which is shut down healthcare reform and leave our entire healthcare to insurance companies. If there are people who believe that Blue Cross and Blue Shield cares more about me than somebody who I elect to represent my interests, then I'm just going to have to say, I think you're flat out wrong. I have control over people that I elect, and I can unelect them at the next election. I have no control over what Blue Cross and Blue Shield thinks is a reasonable bonus to give to their CEO, millions of dollars probably. That is their bottom line. I am not their bottom line. My health is not their bottom line. Your health is not their bottom line. They don't care if I die. They don't care if I can't get treatment for whatever chronic illness I might have. What they care about is when they go to the next shareholders meeting, they need to be able to show a profit in the last quarter. So that's where that's what they're invested in. That's why I should have the right to elect people to look out for me and for my health. Because I just can't depend on people whose only motivation is money to do that. So I'd like to end the show today with a quote I really like by Oprah Winfrey. And this is it. Cheers to a new year, a new chance to get it right. So here we are, America. We have a budget deficit in the trillions of dollars. It's a number so big, the average person can't even get their head around it. I can't get my head around it. 10% of our fellow citizens are out of work, and 50-some million can't go to the doctor when they're sick, and that number includes children. We've got two wars that have cost us so dearly in the lives of so many brave people. It's cost us in of course, the lives that those wars have taken is the very highest cost, but also our financial resources, and these wars also are adding to that ballooning deficit. They're raging on. Withdrawal has begun, but it's going to be years before we get ourselves withdrawn from that mess. And like I said before, there are so many of us who are just scrabbling to get by, just clinging to our homes and our cars and our jobs by the tips of our nails and hoping we're not caught up in the next layoff, hoping our crappy car makes it through another year. And I think these are the people that really truly make up the heart of America, because we pay the bills. We get those taxes deducted from our paycheck every week, and we pay the bills. And I think we ought to get something back for that, instead of the Republican idea, which is you should get nothing. You should get a government that does nothing because government is bad. I just don't agree. We ought to get something instead of nothing. So we are facing a new year, a bright, shiny new year to get it right. So let's get it right. Thanks for listening to Don't Shoot the Messenger on Jackalope Radio. And again, please go to our website, jackaloperadio.com, to join in a forum or start one of your own. I welcome any comments and feedback on this show. Thank you.
There's a bright golden haze in the meadow. I peep out. There's a bright golden haze in the meadow. The cone is as high as an elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Well, I say, oh, what a beautiful morning. Yeah. Yes, what a wonderful day. Y'all look out there. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything going my way. Y'all come on now. Cattle are standing like statues. The cattle are standing like statues. They don't turn their heads as they see me ride by. But a little brown maverick is winking her eyes. She said, oh, what a beautiful morning. Yeah. Well, what a wonderful day. Y'all know, I've got a beautiful feeling. I've got everything. And everything going my way. Everything going my way. My way. How y'all doing to me now?
Shoot the Messenger with your host, Kathy Wynn, a Jackalope Radio production.
All the sounds of the earth are like music. The sounds of the earth are like music. The breeze is as busy, it don't miss a tree. And a little old weeping willow is laughing at me. She said, oh, what a beautiful morning. Yes, what a wonderful day. Y'all, I got a beautiful feeling. I got everything. I got everything. I got everything. Woo! Everything's going my way. I'm sorry. But I got everything going my way, my way. Oh, baby. Such a wonderful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.